Welcome.
All right.
Thank you. To the Shutdown Fullcast. He didn't listen. He didn't finish the drill, but he started it. And that's all. Technically, that's all we asked him to do.
Yeah, that is true. We said, Doug, would you like to do the welcome? We didn't say, would you like to do the welcome to the world's only college football podcast, yeah. So on and so forth.
Oh, shit.
Perfectly done.
Yeah. Oops.
No, you did the job.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We got a real substitute teacher edition of the Fullcast today. Cerber is out, so handy dandy Fullcast After Dark producer Doug is here. Holly and Spencer are out. We replaced them with no one. It's just me.
We replaced them with Doug.
Yep.
Hi.
Doug is serving three roles, and as a result, he also now has full voting control over the Full Corp. For the duration of this.
Oh, shit.
I've been watching a lot of Succession lately, and I think that's how it works.
He's going to fire us both, and yep. Then he will have full control over Holly and Spencer as well. Fire them.
That's right.
Man.
That's right.
That is an absolutely terrifying thought.
No, this is the least. Listen, I say this with humility. Our company is the least important company in America.
Hmm.
Other than the bank that has no money. at least temporarily, until like, the government gives it all back or whatever.
Our company is the least successful company that's still standing in America. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our company is the least successful company that actually makes a product.
That's right.
That people can interact with.
That's right. But like, Doug, you don't have to worry. Like, what happens... What does it even look like to mismanage the Fullcast? How could such a thing happen?
I don't know. Come to think.
Oh no, the podcast was bad. Yeah, man. That's what they make.
Someone complained about the audio.
Yeah, man.
We will have to refund them.
Well, that's not new. After Dark, I don't know. After everything of that show.
After the first seven, eight, whatever years where we're like, Ryan was the producer if he had time, and that was our entire solution.
I ran the program through Mario Paint, and I just saw what happened. And it worked out great.
I had Teddy Ruxpin reread it to me, and then we posted it.
And inevitably, I fell asleep, and then I just posted it.
God, that's beautiful.
Jason... You came up with our concept for today, so do you mind explaining to our readers what we're doing here?
Dear Fullcast readers, this is March, as the saying goes. And this time of year, sports fans watch a sport by the name of college basketball. And the thing about this sport is that its playoff is not four teams, all right, college football fans? I know we think that's a huge playoff. In college basketball, the playoff is 16, no, 32, no, 64, no. It's 68 teams. And then there's other playoffs, such as the NIT, which seeks to crown the 69th best team. There are so many brackets in college basketball. So, as internet content creators, there is only one thing that our minds can turn to this time of year. Yes, we will be the roughly 7 billionth entity to do a bracket in March that is not about college basketball. But to be fair, we've done this many, 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 many times. We surely weren't the first to do it, but we definitely weren't the last. So yesterday, I think, that's like really far ahead planning by Fullcast standards. I asked Ryan, so like, should we do a bracket? And Ryan was like, sure. We just need a topic. You know, and I was like, let's just ask Twitter. So we did. And Ryan's brilliant idea was sort of to combine topics into one bracket, each region having its own topic. So we have a bracket of things, and none of the regions have anything to do with each other. I seeded two of them, and Ryan seeded two of them. I think I have that creative process right.
That is absolutely correct. The one thing, maybe I got this wrong. So I have one Twitter bracket from a Twitter user, and I have one bracket that I just came up with. Do you have the same, or do you have two Twitter brackets?
I have basically the same.
Okay, that's fine.
I'll explain.
If I went to Hubris That's fine. So what we're going to do, this is not, we decided ahead of time, in a rare, what if the full cast is too long decision, these are only going to be 18 regions. They're not going to be 16. We're going to talk about our seeding of these regions, advance teams through, and we're either going to stop, I don't know if we've decided to stop at the Elite Eight or the Final Four. At some point, we're going to stop. And
let's stop at the Final Four, because okay. We have a number of options there. We could just, since Twitter polls let you post four, sure. We could post with zero explanation.
Right.
Whatever the Final
Four
is.
Just see what happens. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, Jason, since this is your concept, why don't you pick where you want us to start?
All right. So I settled on for, I have a Twitter inspired region as well to get to, but I settled on for mine. Also partly inspired by Twitter, because there were a couple of people who wanted to talk about, like, who wanted us to rank like classic music things. And there are not many like musical things, musical topics that are truly like, you know, everyone who listens to a podcast can like get into. Like, you know, if I said like top 8 90s rappers or whatever, like Ryan and I, you and I could probably debate that all day long. Yes. But a lot of listeners would, you know, not be into that. There is one form of music that literally everyone has like lots and lots and lots of engagement with, and that is grocery store music. Everyone goes to one store or another, and this is it's a genre, all right? It's a genre that we all interact with, some of us far more in our lives than others. I used to work at a grocery store. And in consultation with multiple members of my family who also used to work at grocery stores, and as the proprietor of the internet's most successful grocery store music playlist on Spotify, certainly a point of pride, I have compiled a top 8. This is not scientific, but it is informed. Let me put it that way. First, let me say who I considered who didn't quite make the cut.
First four out. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's a loaded group. When you hear these names, you'll think, damn, who's in the top 8? ABBA, Bruno Mars, Coldplay, The Eagles, Ed Sheeran, Hootie and the Blowfish, Katy Perry, Maroon 5, Pink, Sheryl Crow, and The Supremes. I think that's 10 or 11 or so on the bubble. The Supremes, I had it like 6 until I started filling in the top 8. I remember from my years as a grocery store employee, The Supremes are just on loop, like far more than I think most people even recognize. So honestly, The Supremes might be the first one out here. So the seating, let's start at number 8. This one's honestly kind of unfair because I made a play in here. If these were combined into a single artist, I think it would be top 2. This is Phil Collins versus Genesis.
Wow.
You go through their top 10 songs and like both of them are just littering retail playlists nationwide, worldwide. So it honestly feels unfair to split Phil like that, but it would be unfair to everyone else to compete against those combined discographies. So honestly, we could start it there just to see who makes the cut. Phil Collins versus Genesis. And I honestly don't even know what the criteria is from here, like who's got the best songs played at grocery stores, who's played the most, who most fits the vibe of the grocery store. That part is totally up for debate.
I like that last answer best because I feel like it combines frequency and quality. Like, what feels most like a grocery store song to hear?
Mm-hmm. And I'll say I'm sort of biased here because from my experience working at grocery stores, my perfect idea of a grocery store song is one that really catches your attention. Mm-hmm. And when I think Phil Collins, you have In the Air Tonight and you have Easy Lover. Two yep. of the absolute, like, hang on, everybody stocking this aisle at 4 a.m. is going to sing along with this.
Right.
Whereas Genesis, you got a lot of jams, yeah. but they all sort of fit into the rest of the genre, right? They don't just yeah. like, oh, holy shit, that song's playing. They're all good. But so I'm curious whether for the average person whose grocery store experience is like 5 to 30 minutes or so, right, if that is a factor.
I think that is. I think, because to me, when you're talking about grocery store song, it needs to be something that simultaneously fits with the activity of grocery shopping at the grocery store, but also pierces through the regular cadence of that activity and stands out. And you do find yourself like tapping your foot or sing or humming along to Easy Lover as you're like examining peaches or debating if this buy one get one is worth it or not. It's not always, folks. You got to look at those characters, but that's a separate topic. So I can tell you my gut is that the answer to this playing game is Phil Collins.
Okay. I think that was where my heart was leaning. I mean, the hits are the hits. And then you also have You Can't Hurry Love. Yep. You'll Be in My Heart. One More Night. It just goes on and on and on. The man was, I mean, counting the work with Genesis, the god of the genre.
Man, the Supremes knocked out by Phil Collins.
It's crazy.
Stealing their song.
It's crazy. And I even looked at like the Supremes plus Diana Ross, but yeah. I've only heard one of her songs in grocery stores that I can recall.
Which one?
I'm Coming Out.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. Right.
But like the Supremes versus Genesis, it's the Supremes. Phil Collins versus anyone. Anyone not on this list is Phil Collins. Okay.
I think that's right.
Seven Seed, which was recommended by my sister, who is younger and worked at a grocery store much, much more recently than I did, is Taylor Swift. Obviously I was considering her, but she was not played there often when I worked there, but the frequency is obviously rising, you know, quickly over time. Six Seed, Whitney Houston, not only a lot of hits, but also a lot of Christmas hits, which will be a big factor near the top of this list, which means you probably already know who's the one seed. number five, also rising rapidly, is Adele. My wife Emily had Adele as high as I think 2 or 3.
Wow.
But Emily has never worked at a grocery store, so what does she know? This is the podcast where I can say that because she's not on it. Number four, Stevie Wonder. Number three, Celine Dion. Number two, Elton John. And number one, Mariah Carey, of course.
This is a stacked region. Like, absolutely. I can say, not knowing what the full bracket looks like, I think our overall winner of this nonsense tournament is likely to come from this region, just because people will see like Celine Dion versus one of the dumb things I picked and be like, oh, definitely Celine Dion or what. I'm not saying she's going to win this region, but you catch my meaning.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the things you have on here and like imagining the public voting for them over Elton John is difficult.
Right. So this is our region of death. For sure.
Right. Yes. This is the one where you look up and, oh, God, I have to play Gonzaga in round two. Yeah. All right. So.
Can I ask one more question here?
Yeah. Please.
I don't think there are a lot of places where this happens. But let's take like Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. They have a song they did together. How do we factor that into this if it comes? I don't think it's going to come up that much, but.
That's a huge factor that I did think about. Yeah. So if the Prince of Egypt soundtrack is is jumping off at your local grocery store, first tip your DJ because they're putting in work. That is a strong pull. If they're also throwing in the original Hebrew translation of the Song of the Sea, then the things are off to it. Your shopping experience is going to be magnificent. I mean, I think it counts for both. Right?
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I don't feel like it's a song where it's like a one featuring the
Correct.
Other.
Correct. Right? I agree. Even the music video makes it very clear, like, this is a two-hander.
Yeah. Like, neither one of those artists is likely to be sure, I'll play second fiddle. Like, there was an entire joke at the Grammys or whatever about, like, nobody one-ups either of them, so.
Right. Okay. Well, I say we start going through this and see who we get out of this region, then.
Okay, so 1 versus 8, Mariah versus Phil. I mean, the spread here is enormous. Mm-hmm. If it's Phil plus Genesis, honestly, I might favor Phil versus Genesis just in terms of playlist.
Yeah.
But still, it's a vibes question. But Genesis is eliminated. It's just Phil standing alone. Mariah versus Phil. Who you got here?
The Christmas thing All I Want for Christmas Is You is really like, I think the I think this is closer without that than people might think.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Mariah Carey definitely has a lot of jams, but like, certainly the recent catalog has nothing to it. Like, these are both the timeline is roughly the same. If we're talking about like when this work comes out, and Mariah Carey also has more songs that I feel like you definitely won't hear in the grocery store. Like, I don't know if you're going to hear Heartbreaker in the grocery store. Maybe you will, but it feels a little less likely.
Probably not with the Jay-Z verse, no.
Right, exactly.
You're probably not going to hear The Roof. Probably not.
Right, right. Mariah Carey, you're also going to get maybe, well, no, I don't think that's true. This is the thing that's going to be true for a lot of people on this list. What do you do with their sad songs? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do with One Sweet Day? Is that that doesn't feel like a grocery store song to me.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure.
You think
sure
it is?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Do you think it fits the vibe of the grocery? I guess it depends on why you're shopping.
Yeah, if you don't listen to the lyrics, I think so. Like, songs about death typically
right.
aren't
right.
the right mood, but I mean, if you're not paying attention, it's just, you know.
And you know what? Sometimes you need a sandwich tray for a funeral. That's just how it is sometimes.
That's true.
There are
in the greeting cards aisle, there are, like, sorry
yeah.
for your lost cards.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That said, I think the Christmas issue tips it here, and I can't see an upset this early from Mariah Carey. I'm not confident she's going to be emerging from this region necessarily, but I don't think she's losing here.
Okay. So, Phil, one half of the unbelievable grocery store music machine, has been eliminated, but look what it took to take him out.
Yeah.
You have, like, not only Mariah Carey with 800,000 number one hits, she's also got the fucking finishing move that happens all December long. Like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I remember my daughter and I, we were riding around this December, and it was like, we got in the car, it was playing. We went to one store, it was playing. We got in the car, it was playing again. We went to, it's like, and the song is almost 30 years old.
Right.
What
right.
a monster. What a monster.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Number two here, truly a generational clash. Elton John versus Taylor Swift.
You talk me through your logic first.
So Elton has like a zillion songs that like basically everyone of every age loves. Like, Elton might be the artist on whom me and my mother can most agree, you know?
Sure.
And like just like his entire greatest hits album has probably played like frequently. Maybe not The Bitch Is Back, but depending on the grocery store. I did have a boss who would like switch up the, there's a little, not many people know this, there's a little button in a box where you can switch the playlist. And so like, yeah, we'd do that sometimes. I've heard Rancid at a grocery store, sure.
It's Food Lion.
they can't even afford Rancid. They're just giving you Me First and the Gimme Gimmes is all they got. This just punk goes pop. That's it. Actually, it probably costs more. Sorry. So Elton is just like a zillion songs yeah. that have been playing forever and ever and ever. Whereas Taylor has all the momentum, right? Like right. she has yet to write songs that will be played in grocery stores,
right.
you know, 50 years from now, if stores last that long.
Well, and also the way that Taylor's, the legal side of Taylor's musical career has played out, like, her back catalog keeps getting refreshed and
that's true.
rejuvenated in ways that like make it popular in ways that are not exactly the same as the other people on this. Like, Elton John is not like, oh, here is like Elton's version of Crocodile Rock or something.
Right.
You know?
I don't know. He might like he's
he
doing
could.
His remixes.
He could. That's
he did
true.
That remix with Britney Spears.
That's true.
And like others. So like, I could see that. I could see that in a grocery store. Britney was one I didn't consider. I did consider Christina Aguilera. That's a great point about Taylor, though. Like, there might be songs that sound like at this point from like her first album that sound kind of like tinny and small, you mm-hmm. know. And like if she redoes like her first album, which I don't know if she will, but all those songs are up for contention, you know.
I think my only hesitation here, or my major hesitation, I should say, is that I think of Taylor Swift's music as Target music. And I don't consider Target a grocery store for these purposes. And that's where I'm getting stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So, based on that maybe unfair distinction, I would probably go Elton John. But I can be swayed here. And also, if we need to go to Doug to break a tie here, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, I think the Target distinction is really good. Doug, as a younger person, what do you think?
Thinking about this, I think you have to go Elton John, just because if you're talking right now, I think his range appeals to a lot more people. Taylor's pushing it, but I don't think she's there quite yet. Maybe in a few more years.
Okay, so when we do this exact bracket next year, we'll see if Taylor's overtaken.
That's right.
Because we will do all four of these exact regions next year. We'll see who's gained. All right, so no upsets so far.
One's going to be brutal.
Oh, my God.
God.
I didn't actually even look at the actual matchups until right now. Oh, God. Celine Dion versus Whitney Houston.
Fuck.
Oh, God.
Fuck.
I will say, I mean, I rank these based only on what I perceived to be total grocery store plays. I will not announce where I would go if the choice was who I would rather hear. I will say, both these artists are amazing and incredible. But I do have a vote here. Let's hear from you two first.
Doug, I'm not starting. You have to start.
Oh, God. Because I know I'm going to get yelled at by some friends of mine if I don't pick her. I'm just going to say Whitney Houston right now.
Okay.
This is an excruciating pick, though.
Is that only based on fear of being canceled by your friends?
A little bit of that and a little bit of, I don't know who to pick this one. I'm just going to... Shit. I think it's still going to be Whitney, I think, just because of that factor.
Okay.
I'm closing my eyes, and I'm imagining walking into... For me, it's Publix. It's just going to be Publix. Let's just put that in stone. I'm walking into a Publix. Haven't been to the grocery store in a while, let's say. It's a nice Publix. It's arranged the way you like. I prefer Bakery Deli on the right. I don't like it when it's flipped. I prefer the full-size Publix, not like the compact Metro one. And if you're saying what song is playing that sort of like makes this a quintessential any time in your life Publix experience, I think my answer is That's the Way It Is by Celine Dion.
Okay.
And I don't mean that with disrespect to Whitney Houston, who I would definitely pick over Celine for lots of other circumstances. But if we're talking about the grocery store, I am going with Celine.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Celine is both on the estimated most played lists, and if I was selecting the eight artists who I think contribute the most to the overall grocery store musical aura, she would certainly be in strong consideration here. I think Whitney, not just for the fact that she gets some Christmas spins that mean you don't have to hear the Paul McCartney song quite as often and so forth. Higher Love, I'll Always Love You, How Will I Know, Greatest Love of All, as noted, half of a song with Mariah Carey, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And on the list of songs that at 3 a.m. can get an aisle of grocery store stock boys, just like really, really fired up to stock those shelves. I Want to Dance with Somebody.
I was going to say, yeah.
One of the greatest songs ever.
Okay.
Impossible to be in a bad mood when that song is playing.
Yep.
A spirit lifter. And like, I mean, if you're just shopping and that song comes on, you're going to throw a whole bunch more things in your cart because Whitney Houston is boosting the economy. That's what she does.
That's right.
So we have our first upset. And honestly, it's only an upset on paper because at this point, the point spreads in these matchups are nearly invisible. Whitney Houston advances. This second round is already looking absolutely brutal.
Murderous.
And finally, our 4-5 matchup in our first round, Stevie Wonder versus Adele.
I don't. This is the one I don't think is close. I think it's Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Like, I think it's a lot of range in terms of like some up-tempo stuff, some slower stuff, some sweeter stuff. It's multi-generational. Like, I feel like Adele deserves to be here. I'm not saying Adele shouldn't be in this region, but if you're just asking me, like, I am the grocery store DJ, and I can only put one of these artists, their work, like, a lot of it, I think, is just that, like, the body of work with Stevie Wonder is much more voluminous and much more accomplished at this point, just because he's much older than Adele. Yeah. And yeah. So, on that basis, I would pick number 4 Stevie Wonder over number 5 Adele.
So when we check in, like, 40 years from now, we'll see.
It might be totally different, yes.
If Taylor Swift is Target music, is Adele Crate and Barrel music? Or,
yes.
Or,
yes.
Or, like, what's the store where, like, it's really sad, but, like, high-end sad? But not too high-end sad.
Restoration Hardware, maybe? Could be.
Home Depot music. I'm just rebuilding my heart. And then she comes in singing. It's Stevie. Stevie okay. was, I'll be honest here, the when I looked at these in terms of not just spins but quality, yeah. The top tier for me was our final four here, our top four in this region, Mariah Elton, Whitney, Stevie, plus Celine Dion, basically.
Yeah.
And that's saying if we, granted, we snubbed a lot of Phil Collins' songs because other people were on them.
Sure.
So what if we do this? What if we jump to one of your regions and then come back for second
great,
round?
Great. Okay, I'm going to start with a Twitter region. This is from Twitter user @IndianaRandom. We got a lot of good Twitter suggestions, but this one really stuck out. This is your region of Matt's. And I did a couple things here that made this unnecessarily difficult for myself and possibly for the rest of you. I specifically picked people who go by Matt. Matthews are not on here. M-A-T, people who go by M-A-T, sometimes you see that in, like, not usually in an American setting, but abroad. There's also no, like, tricks here about, like, oh, doormat or, no, not here. Mm-hmm. I also tried to pick people who come from different walks of life. The NFL is lousy with Matts, but I only have one. Acting has tons of Matts, but I only have one.
Oh, interesting.
So I've tried to see them accordingly.
So you sort of, in the spirit of, like, conference auto bids, only one Matt emerged from each
yes,
group.
Yes, that is correct. That's sort of what I was going for. I don't know if it worked or not. I will also say this. I thought about putting our friend Matt Brown on here, but it felt weird seating a person I know.
What if you combined both of the Matt Browns into one?
Oh, man. You know what? That's the first team out. That's my first team out.
You two have to figure out how to actually merge into a single right. person. I mean, you're right. Already pretty close to that.
Yeah. All right, so here are my Matts in seed order. Number one, Matt Berry, the actor from What We Do in the Shadows, and other things as well. I just love the show. I love him on it. He's great. The fact that we have a show about vampires where one of the main characters yells bat every time he turns into a bat is just fucking delightful. Number two, Matt Murdock, the superhero, better known as Daredevil.
Wow.
Number three, this was tough. Picking a NFL Matt was tough, but I decided to keep with sort of the Atlanta Falcons-y vibe that our show frequently has. I went with Matt Ryan.
Okay. So you went with the future Hall of Famer there.
That's right.
Easy choice.
That's right. And I know also we're huge in Boston.
yes. As number well as Indiana. No, not so huge in Indianapolis.
That's less huge in Indianapolis.
We actually kind of are. Sorry, Indiana.
Chop at home field. Number four. Given recent news, and given that we've already talked about a little bit, Bloomberg journalist and a good newsletter haver, Matt Levine.
Good poster.
Very helpful. Yeah.
Really good poster.
We love a poster. Number five. U.S. men's goalkeeper, and he also plays in the Premier League, but that's, you know, whatever. Matt Turner. Number six. And Jason, I'm going to lean on you for feedback here. And yes, I did pair him in the seating with Matt Ryan so that you would have some decisions to make.
Okay, I think I know.
Matt Hardy, the wrestler.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Goddamn. Number seven. This is where I was. You can tell these last two I was really scraping. And the decision to limit it by walk of life was a bad one. NASCAR driver Matt Kenseth. I got to be honest. I don't have any feelings about him. I think he's going to lose Daredevil.
As I
see.
Go.
That's right. And number eight, baseballist Matt Carpenter, who I mostly remember as the St. Louis Cardinals pitcher who, I think this is him, and I'm really sorry if I'm fucking this up, and maybe I could have looked it up beforehand, but it's too late now. I think this is the dude who was a pitcher, got the yips, basically failed out of the majors as a pitcher, and then worked his way back up as an outfielder.
The word pitch does appear a lot in his wiki page.
He's not a pitcher anymore.
Right. I'm not seeing pitcher. Carpenter made his first appearance pitching. That was, so I don't think it's him, because it sounds like in 2021 he had like an injury.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know. Probably not a Matt.
This is going to fucking annoy me. Anyway, whoever that guy was.
Pitcher who became
It was a Cardinals guy. Cardinals pitcher, outfielder. Rick Ankiel.
Yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, that's who came up here.
All right, you know what? Matt Carpenter's out.
Rick Ankiel's now a Matt.
No, it's Matt Browns.
Okay, all right.
All right. Sorry. Ugh, fuck. I knew it. You know what? Part of me said, like, don't pick a Cardinal / Yankee. Nobody wants to hear about
that.
I should have listened to my gut.
This is a much tougher competition.
I'm furious now. All right. So welcome, Matt. Both Matts Brown. You've entered the competition.
Wow, that's crazy. Ohio State wasn't the first one out. For once.
All right. So we're gonna see who advances. Our number one seed, English actor Matt Berry versus surprising Cinderella team, the
in
twin
due to,
Matt Browns.
NCAA sanctions elsewhere.
That's right. Thought they had booked their tickets for the NIT and then were told, hold on, get on a bus to Albany. You're playing Matt Berry. Who do you guys have advancing in this matchup?
So Matt Berry, I have scrolled through the filmography, and this might be the single actor whose work has most been recommended to me without me actually seeing any of it.
Yeah.
Like almost everything. Maybe I've seen some of these episodes he like guested in, but like almost everything he's in, I'm like, oh yeah, I'd like that if I watched it. I just haven't.
Right.
So like he might be the actor I think the most of who I have no idea what he's actually like. So I mean, that's pretty good. It's a pretty good case. Whereas the number eight seed here, you have two guys named Matt Brown who are both among the list of college football posters whose opinions I'm just like, yeah, okay, that's my opinion now. You know, like Bill Connolly is there, you know, like NFL Bill Barnwell or like NBA John Hollinger, like basically whatever they say, I'm like, yeah, okay, I agree with that. So for having very cribbable work, and for like teaching me things about college football history, and the fact that this combines current and former coworkers.
Oh, there is a recusal problem here potentially. But
go ahead. All right.
No, go ahead. No, you're
I've
right.
stated my opinion and will now leave
right.
the room.
You're right. Okay. Doug, what do you think?
I've looked at Matt Berry's wiki. The only thing I've watched is Toast of London Really Stoned about like 6 years ago. I found it funny. That's about all I've ever seen him in. And then Matt Brown, I'm inclined to give it to him solely because whenever his daughter Penny seizes his Twitter account, it's always hilarious every time.
Damn,
and I want to support that.
So now we got three people in one spot.
All right, you know what?
Phil Collins is furious. Why didn't he get to bring his friends?
this is perhaps an error I made in the seating here, but that happens in real life too. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to stand in the way of progress here. The Matt Browns advance again.
gigantic upset
huge,
on
paper. Huge first 1-8 upset in the history of this August tournament. All right, let's jump to the bottom. I think this will be easy. Matt Murdock versus Matt Kenseth. Which Matt advances?
I mean, I think that Daredevil would be better as a NASCAR driver than this NASCAR driver is at NASCAR driving.
Wow. And that's really no shade to the actual NASCAR driver.
I don't know anything about the NASCAR driver. Right. I'm sure he's great, but
he's won the Daytona 500 a couple times, and his name's Matt. So
that's excellent. That's good. Yeah. I mean, it's a good choice to make the bracket. I just think you can't compete with a guy who has like fought his way through like 1,000 people in a stairwell, without seeing any of them.
I think. I mean, I'm not. Yeah. Doug, we're going to go ahead and just advance Matt Murdock, I assume.
And he's the world's greatest lawyer. I don't... Yep. Perhaps Matt Kenseth has other skills he brings to the table, but as of press time, I'm not aware of them. I'm going to control F, lawyer. As Ryan knows, being a lawyer on the side is incredibly helpful.
Super lucrative, yeah. Hmm. I am in many ways the Daredevil of sports media.
Everyone knows it's true.
Okay. We're advancing Matt Murdock. I'm going to go to the 4-5 matchup next. Matt Levine, good poster, versus Matt Turner, good person between the posts.
Oh, that's good.
Doug, how does Matt Turner rate amongst our Matts here in your professional soccer opinion?
Fairly confident he's the best goalkeeper in the world named Matt, because I can't picture any others in my head.
Okay, that's something, yeah.
I've enjoyed watching him play. He played for one of my past teams, so I'm also a little inclined for that as well.
Two or three-time MLS goalkeeper of the year, I think?
Yeah. He's at Arsenal now, so he's doing pretty okay for himself.
Yeah. Had a pretty good run in the World Cup.
Yeah. He's definitely the guy now. I don't think I follow Matt Levine, so I'm struggling with that one.
Okay, no, that's fine. Jason, strong feelings on this one.
Yeah, I think so. Like, Matt Turner, the goalie, is not a person I have ever turned to for anything. I have never needed the New England Revolution to win a game.
Yeah.
And in fact, there have likely been times where I've rooted against Matt Turner as an Atlanta United fan.
Yeah.
Not that I would, you know, hold that against him. If he'd been an incredible player who I just couldn't take my eyes off, I would certainly hold that in his favor here. Whereas Matt Levine is not just a fine poster, but also like the person I turn to when like money shit happens, you know? When it's like, oh shit, the money, whatever, is super fucking dorked up. There's only really one person I care to have this explained to me, other than Alex Kirshner at Slate, economic correspondent at Slate.
He would pick Matt Levine, too. You know he would pick Matt Levine.
I'm just saying Alex is number two on the list. But like, yeah, I mean, it's like a person you kind of need to understand the world, unless you're like the kind of dork who can like read The Economist or whatever.
Right. So... this is a tricky one for me because I'm like, what is the essence of a Matt? Playing soccer is a super Matt thing to do. Like, that's Matt as hell.
Just imagine how many Matts play soccer, do you think?
All of them. All Matts play soccer. And so I'm faced with the question of what is more Matt, to play soccer or to talk about the economy?
I don't know.
And it's pretty
tough.
If it
doesn't involve being accurate about the economy, then it's probably
toss-up. Right. So I guess I'm going to go with, well, what does our nation need more going forward? excellent goalkeeping in international men's soccer, or explaining what the fuck's going on with the economy. Most years, I would pick the goalkeeper. This is not most years, and so I think we are going to advance Matt Levine. This is a very poster. This is a very poster heavy region right now. Because, like, in many ways, Matt Murdock is, like, being a lawyer is being a poster. Let's be honest. It's just posting in court.
I'm looking at the second round in my first region. I think Mariah is the only poster there. Like, Elton quit Twitter and everything.
Yeah. All right. This last one, I'm just going to leave up to Jason. Matt Ryan versus Matt Hardy. The floor is
micro-targeted content. Matt Ryan, who was my quarterback for, I don't know how long, was it 15 years, 14, 13, something like that. Like a very long time. The best player in the history of the pro sports team, I am cursed with liking. A player who was like deeply underrated for like large portions of his career. I would happily make the case he should be the Hall of Famer regardless of what happened in Indianapolis and regardless of what happens going forward. Up against Matt Hardy, who during his time in WWE, I believe then F, he and his brother were high-flying new metal fans who innovated all sorts of new wrestling types. The tables, ladders, and chairs match was not only an innovation of theirs, but they were the masters of it. Matt, however, was always sort of the sort of like stable, more ground-based member of the duo. Jeff did all the very high-flying stuff.
So he was the Matt Ryan too. Jeff's Julio Jones,
yeah. And it's hard to correlate these things, and I don't want to sound like I'm drawing too close of a distinction. But Jeff has also lived much, much harder when he's off the clock. Jeff has had like a number of legal problems, just to put it as blandly as possible. And I'm not the only person who has had the sense that his brother, while supporting him, is also somewhat enabling him by continuing to push him into performing live. And when you tell Jeff Hardy, hey, I got you a gig on TV, what's Jeff Hardy going to do? He's going to jump off some really tall shit and land flat on his back on metal. And then he's in a lot of pain, and it's not good when he's in a lot of pain. So, like, my feelings toward Matt Hardy, you know, like as a kid, it was like, oh my God, this is one of the two coolest guys in the world. He wears enormous pants and he jumps off shit. Whereas now I'm like, not so comfortable with Matt Hardy. And also, the new metal has aged incredibly poorly.
So Matt Ryan, like, also wears enormous pants, I feel like.
Matt Ryan wears very snug pants, is the thing. Like, when
off the clock?
Oh, absolutely. The man's like, so, like, I mean, for one thing, like, he wouldn't wear baggy pants. And, I mean, the other, like, the style is, like, I think more up-to-date than he gets credit for. Like, okay. Yeah, he's, you know, dorky dad from Pennsylvania and Boston. But he's also from Atlanta. Like, as we see, there was that meme of him, like, on a, I forget which studio show, where he, like, competently and appropriately dapped up one fellow studio participant, and then when the other offered him a businessman like handshake, he was able to do that as well. I think Matt Ryan, I don't want to say he's cooler than he seems, but he's less uncool than he seems. Okay, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
And he has never bought into the fleeting sugar high of wearing big pants while listening to new metal. So that I know of, at least. I mean, Matt Ryan in college, what was he listening? Probably Phil Collins. He's probably listening to Phil Collins in college. the Dropkick Murphys at absolute most fired up. But I got to go Matt Ryan, and it's not only due to Falcons bias.
Okay.
They will both be Hall of Famers in their respective fields. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Those are our Matt's advancing. Should we move on to Jason, your other bracket?
Okay, yes. This one was inspired by Twitter user. Let me send out the call for requested topics by Twitter user Jack Kevorkians. Why?
This bodes well.
Y-I-N-Z of Pittsburgh style, who just typed one word, emotions. All right.
Wow.
So I was like, eight
but
emotions.
Not in the Carly Rae Jepsen style, I assume.
Right. If it was like top eight Carly Rae songs, I could talk your ear off about that. But
Carly Rae is not a grocery store artist, though, right?
No. You might
Which
hear
is
Call
kind
Me
of
Maybe.
A shame. Yeah.
You will probably hear Good Time from time to time, even though it's like one of her worst songs because the guy on it sucks.
Yeah.
I can't think of any others I've ever heard. She does have one called Store about going to the store, which you think they'd play at the store, but they don't. You might, like, there have been a few that are on car commercials, you know?
Yeah.
And, like,
But just not, it's no shade, just not a grocery store artist. For
yeah, if
reason.
Cut to the Feeling hadn't been, like, a B-side song that blew up, if it had been an album song, maybe.
Okay.
So as far as non-Carly Rae emotions go, so I looked up, like, list of emotions, because I'm like, where the fuck do you even start here?
Like a newly born AI bot trying to find its legs.
Yeah, like Nick Saban preparing to, like, be interviewed. I feel very...
Signing day shows, god damn it.
I feel tremendous patience. Is that a good one? So I found one that, like, seemed to fit perfectly because it was like the eight emotions, according to a psychologist professor from USF. And I'm like, well, damn, USF has been through a lot. I'm sure they know a lot about emotions. They know the highs of like 2 weeks in 2007, and they know the lows of every year since. That's a lot of emotions.
Is one of the emotions sweaty?
Tampa emotions.
Back sweat.
That's a whole other one, yeah. So then I was looking down the list, and it's like love, joy, blah, 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 you know. And I'm like, oh, okay. Part of my brain is singing a song right now. This sounds exactly like the fruit of the Spirit from Paul's letter to the Galatians, which here is the ranking that I settled on. It's mostly in order. Love, faithfulness, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity. And then there's a play in between gentleness and self-control. I don't know if all of those are technically emotions. Some of them are like personality traits, but
states of mind or something.
It lined up close enough for me. I think they should be ranked in basically that order because later, about 5 years later, in the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul essentially ranked love number one of all, and it's first in the list. So I mostly followed that, but he also ranked faith very high later. So I ranked faithfulness number two. There.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha. All right.
So I guess to start with the play-in, gentleness versus self-control, and I have no idea what the criteria for emotions is. Like, I was asking my wife and daughter, and they were like, do you mean, like, the strongest ones, or the one you most want, or the ones that are most common? And I was like, I don't know.
I think it should be the most emotional, right?
Okay.
Does that seem fair?
The most emotional emotion?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah. So looking at the play-in then, what is the most emotional emotion, gentleness or self-control?
Well, probably not gentleness by that criteria, because self-control is like an act of like desperately trying not to do the stupid thing, whereas gentleness is like, why would I do the stupid thing? It would hurt somebody, you know?
Yeah.
I think self-control is the obvious winner there.
Yeah, I think
that's by that criteria.
I think that's right. Sorry to gentleness. I hope you enjoyed your time in Akron.
And gentleness is like, oh, okay, it's cool, whatever.
Okay. Oh. Let's do it. Let's start figuring out emotions. Also a Mariah Carey song, by the way.
Yeah. Damn, her she's just running up the score.
Her influence is everywhere.
Region. God damn, she's dominating her. All right, so let's go big. Number one seed, love, versus number eight seed, self-control.
Walk off. It's love. Love and landslide. Like, this game isn't even close at the end of the first half.
This is when we're like, self-control in ways that can sometimes be okay and sometimes be bad often fights against love, right? I love the wrong person, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like what always wins, whether that should or not, you know? Love dominates that one. Okay. Faithfulness versus generosity.
This is almost a mirror image, almost not. I think like generosity should be a very emotional thing. It's literally giving. It's supposed to be like, you know, it's supposed to represent, I think, a deep emotional experience in the act. Faithfulness, I think, has more potential to be an act of inertia. There are some versions of faithfulness where keeping the faith or maintaining the faith is an act of doing the same thing over and over again, where generosity is maybe more of an active trait at times. I think I'm painting with too broad of a brush here, and there are obviously parts of faithfulness that are just as active. But if I have to start split these hairs in this impossible region you've created, that is where I sort of look and maybe lean a little bit towards generosity.
Okay. Yeah. So faithfulness here, I am going to interpret it as more of loyalty, devotion, things of that nature. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Actually, let me look at a bunch of other versions and see what.
Which can encompass elements of generosity as well.
Sure. Yeah. It mostly gets written as faithfulness. Which is more emotional? I mean, devotion is often just a decision, right?
Yes. Right.
And sometimes it's a hard decision, and sometimes it's a decision that's continuously challenged.
Yep.
Your loyalty is often tested, right? Whereas generosity is like an action that you do, and then
it's more self-contained.
And then you do it again.
Right.
So, like, is it the constant low-level emotional hum of faithfulness, or is it the I am doing something for someone right this minute, 10 minutes from now I will not be, but right now I am, right? That like burst of emotion right then.
Gotcha. So generosity is your team that shoots a lot of threes, is not hitting a lot of them, but when they do, they kind of come in flurries.
Faithfulness is the Virginia Cavaliers of basketball.
Yeah, we're slowing the pace down. We're feeding the ball into the low post. We're taking high percentage shots. We're getting to the free throw line. I don't know. Doug, do you have feelings on this one?
It just hit me. Is faithfulness the pit of emotions? Like pit, P-I-T-T?
Let's see here.
Depending on the year, pit can be very generous as well. But
it might be love when it's like, oh, God damn it, out of nowhere. Yeah. Wrecked by love.
Yeah. I probably lean the upset here, but Jason, I can leave this one to you. I'll abide by your decision here.
Well, I think considering the fact that I moved up faithfulness, and in fact, faithfulness is itself a stand-in for what Paul initially wrote, which is faith. Faithfulness is artificially boosted here in two different ways. So okay. I think since it's a coin toss, I'm going to give it to the upset, which is generosity, which has not been aided in any way.
Okay. All right.
There are no steroids in generosity, unless you're giving someone steroids.
Okay.
Next we have, this feels like a beat down, joy versus kindness.
You know what to do here. You know what I mean.
No one ever wrote a song called Kindness to the World.
Nobody ever.
Actually, Paul McCartney's probably
called
do that.
Kindness and Pain. We're talking about 90s rappers, right? That's
joy
advances there easily.
Joy advances. Yeah. By this standard, this standard that you have come up with really, really clarified things. That was a good way of handling this bracket. 4-5, peace versus patience. Very similar in some ways.
Yeah. I think I think peace is in many ways is maybe peace is interesting because it feels like the emotion that is inherently unattainable or only unattainable for limited durations. Like most or a lot of religions sort of get to this idea of like peace is where you are trying to get and you're never going to fully get there in your journey on this earth. Patience, on the other hand, is something that you exhibit towards the circuit. Maybe patience is the skill you develop to try to enhance your own peace. Wow. To try to enhance the peace around you as well. And so I think because patience is the pathway to peace, peace is therefore the superior emotion. But, like, I recognize I've just said a bunch of bullshit here, and none of it could be right.
No, you're preaching. That's some preaching-ass preaching. I've never heard it. That's a good word. Come on now. I think, like, I feel like I'm sort of biased here by, like, what I, like, most enjoy feeling.
Yeah.
Which, like, peace of mind, just to use, like, the most, I guess, basic instant present feeling that, like, I mean, honestly, that feeling of, like, I know I locked the door before I left the house. Yep. And I don't have to wonder about just those little things. Or, like, when you have gone through a long period where you don't have health insurance and then you have health insurance, it's like it changes everything that you didn't even realize it changed. You know, like when I very first got a full-time job, like after college or whatever, it was like I looked up like, oh shit, I had been like low-key worried every time I left the house, you know. And now I'm like, okay, I probably won't lose billions of dollars if I get hit by a car. And then you expand that to like bigger and bigger things, whether it's internally, personally, like having like a true tranquility that you don't feel all the time, but that you can access, right? And you expand that to the greatest level, like what is the single thing that we want most for the world? And it's like the end of oppression and conflict and everyone getting the fuck along, right? So like in a lot of ways, it is our highest objective. And I mean, patience. But like patience is sometimes bad, you know. Like patience could mean procrastination or dawdling or whatever. Like patience isn't always like the single greatest thing. It's a valuable skill and a valuable tool, but like the only time peace is bad is when it's like, should I stand up for this person? Nah. But that's not peace,
right?
Because there is no peace there. That person is still being bullied or oppressed or whatever. So like you haven't added
it's a very selfish version of peace.
Yeah, you've just created a fake peace for just yourself. Yeah. So that doesn't count against peace. I think this doesn't I don't know if it exactly fits the specific criteria, but to me peace just has so much more going for it here.
Okay. I agree with that. I agree with that.
All right. Paul, we have fixed your list for you. First time.
So that brings us to the last region. Which is one I created on my own. I want you to know, I briefly thought about doing a very meta region, which is frustrating things about the shutdown fullcast. One of the things I had on that list was when the show takes 30 minutes plus to talk about sports. Mm-hmm. And so technically this would qualify within that. But instead I am going with a sports theme here, a football one. This is the region of annoying things that your offense can do. And I tried to keep it somewhat specific, but here they are in what I would argue is this the proper seated order. Number one, turnover in the red zone. I don't think I need to explain more why this is just the most frustrating thing that your offense can do. Number two, fumbled snap. Who knows what that play was going to be? Might have been cool. Might have gone well, but we didn't even get a chance to see if it was going to succeed or not, because the basic thing that starts every offensive play got fucked up. Number three, Vikings fans, close your ears. Throw short of the sticks on third down. Fucking infuriating. I know that was actually fourth down for the Vikings, but whatever. Number four, kneeling with 30-plus seconds left in the second quarter. This is obviously super contextual, and there are some times where it doesn't matter, but I still feel it can be extremely frustrating. Number five, false start on the opponent's 1-yard line. Specifically a false start, specifically on the one. Number six, delay of game after a turnover or change of possession or anything where it was like the clock was stopped and everybody had time to figure out what was going on. Delay of game in those circumstances. All delays of game are pretty annoying, but this specific iteration is the stupidest. Number seven, illegal formation penalty. Like, again, all offensive penalties are frustrating, but the one where a play is called back because not enough people were on the line of scrimmage or somebody was covered up or some stupid, like, oh, you didn't, like, write your name on your homework in the right corner of the paper. Like, that shit is, And number eight, quarterback runs out of bounds for a loss instead of throwing it away. These are my. There are a lot of other things you could put on. I'm not going to do the first four out for this region because offenses can do all kinds of frustrating things. I thought about putting punt from plus territory, but arguably that's not the offense doing that.
Okay.
So I didn't know. So that would probably be first out just because I felt it didn't qualify.
Okay. Yeah. That's because ultimately that's this. Like head coach's fault, not the
offense. Yeah, and it's like, you know, if the special teams unit refused, they're complicit, right. Arguably.
They're kind of being scabs in a way, yeah.
That's right. All right. So let's start with red zone turnover versus quarterback runs out of bounds for a loss instead of throwing it away, which is the more frustrating or annoying thing that your offense can do.
Damn. So without sort of like being pedantic and finding edge cases where it's like, maybe we went for it on fourth and down from the one, and that was the smart move, and we didn't get it, you know? Or, like, maybe it was the choice was between running for negative half a yard or throwing a pick. You know what I mean? Without getting, like, overly creative with it, I mean, you can't top red zone turnover.
Okay. Yeah.
At least in this round. Let's put
it that way. Because your brain... At some point, when your team gets that close, it's like, well, we're definitely going to at least get a field goal opportunity. And your brain knows that it shouldn't do that. Your brain is like, nothing's guaranteed. Field goals can get missed, whatever. But like, some part of you is like, has already tallied that up in your imaginary scoreboard. And when you turn the ball over, you have to go back and erase that math, and that sucks.
Yeah.
Number two, fumbled snap versus number seven, illegal formation penalty.
Illegal formation has an upside because you got to see some shit you never seen before, and that's always a growing experience for you. Look at what you've learned today. Oh, that guy can't stand there. All right.
Yeah.
Football's hard. Football's complicated. Like there's a shitload of rules, and like there's head coaches. There are rules they don't know. Whereas fumble snap, that's literally the easiest thing. That's like it should be the thing that never gets fucked up. It's the most take it for granted thing in all of football. So like that going wrong, it's hard to stomach.
Okay. We will advance fumbled snap. Throw short of the sticks on third down or delay of game after a turnover or change of possession.
So throwing short on third down is obviously frustrating, but I feel like often it's the smart move, and this isn't just like a 1% of the time you can think of a way it's cool, but like, I mean, if all the coverage is deep and you're using that third down to essentially add yardage to your punt or to like set up a potential fourth down conversion, a lot of times it's the smart move on third down. So like, unless it's a case where it's like, we had to go 5 yards and you went three, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But... whereas a delay of game, that is always terrible. I got to go delay of game there in the upset.
Okay. And our last matchup. Kneeling with 30 seconds left in the second quarter, 30-plus seconds left in the second quarter, or a false start on the opponent's one-yard line.
So the false start, like I know these days quarterback sneaks are unstoppable if you simply have Jalen Hurts who can like squat a truck and you put... somehow put 9 guys behind him and 9 guys in front of him. Whereas kneeling with 30 seconds left is like, I don't, like you said, a part of your brain. This is one where a part of your brain, even if you have 90 yards to go in 4 seconds to do it, is like, why wouldn't we take a shot?
Right.
There's no chance of it working. Probably more of a chance of it scoring the other team points. But I think due to the fact that like for me, maybe I'm an overly optimistic person sometimes. If we get a false start, I'm like, well, now that just opened up some paths.
We got some room to work with. Pull playbooks back open again, boys.
Yeah, now we can operate. Okay. I mean, as an Atlanta Falcons fan, the red zone doesn't fucking matter. We're not going to score anyway. So, the place to score is from 90 yards away when there are 4 seconds left. So I got to go kneeling here.
Okay. I think I agree with that one primarily because false start on the one is frustrating, but it doesn't eliminate the possibility of scoring a touchdown, and is usually a product of, oh, you were too eager to do something. Kneeling with time left in the second quarter is a decision to do nothing. Is giving up, and I find it much more frustrating.
Yeah,
personally.
Like, doing not enough is more frustrating than doing too much, and additionally, just the psychological...
Right.
Like, regardless of the strategic impact.
Right. Okay. Okay, so now we've winnowed our... And now we got to go back through our regions, yeah? And...
Yeah. So what if we do this in our... In this round of 16, what if for each region, we just boom, boom, boom to a champ? And then we'll have a final four that we can then throw to Twitter.
Do something with, yes.
Or whatever.
That's a great plan.
All right. So in the grocery store music region, our 1 vs. 4 is Mariah Carey versus Stevie Wonder.
Goddamn.
And just to remind the listener, or in case you're somehow tuning in late, I don't know if that's a thing for podcasts, this isn't which artist we like the most. This is... a variety of grocery store specific factors.
So here is where the Christmas element starts to, the Christmas advantage starts to be winnowed away a little bit. Stevie Wonder does Christmas songs. They are not as big as All I Want for Christmas Is You, and I understand that. But like, you, it is not unlikely to hear a Stevie Wonder Christmas song at the grocery store at the holidays. Less likely? Sure. I'll give you that. I don't know here. Like, this is... I think... I kind of lean Stevie Wonder here, but not strongly. I kind of want to hear more debate on this, frankly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you will hear Someday at Christmas.
Yep.
By Stevie Wonder. I think you'll hear What Christmas Means to Me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Mariah also has other Christmas songs.
Sure, yeah.
There's I mean, she does a few of like the old standards. I know that she has two entire Christmas albums.
Mm-hmm.
I think she has A Joy to the World that gets played, or let me see, which one am I thinking of here? I mean, I think all these get played. Like, I think there's honestly so much Christmas bleed over that almost all of the songs from her first Christmas album get played. And like dominating an entire month, even though you're right, Stevie absolutely participates probably more than most people, even in the top eight. To me, even if they're neck and neck 11 months of the year, I think Mariah's got the finishing.
Okay.
Move.
Doug, how do you feel about that decision?
I keep going back to All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's like, oh, that's like the level 4 super she's got after you've tried everything else. She comes in with that.
Right.
And I'm just
this
like,
this is the part of the video game where you're like, ah, her health bar is down, and then it
another
refills,
health bar.
Pretty
Sephiroth. Mariah singing over Sephiroth's music. That'd be fucking badass, by the way.
Oh, I would watch that immediately. I think I have to go to Mariah Carey on this one, painfully.
Okay.
That one's really hard.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Stevie advanced in a brutal region. He made the cut in a brutal region and advanced. Like, this is... It is understood. This is no shade to Stevie Wonder.
Right, sure.
Elton John versus Whitney Houston.
I think this is where Elton John maybe wasn't tested enough in the first round by Taylor Swift. On the grocery store front, and Whitney having to take down Celine, like, I think really was saying something. And I think
is she building momentum?
I think she's the Cinderella story of this region, and I think Whitney advances here. Like, I think Elton John's discography is great, but I think Whitney is probably scratching the grocery store itch specifically a little more precisely than Elton John is. Like, I don't think you're going to hear Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting at the grocery store. I would love it if you did.
Especially if it's Saturday night and you're at the grocery store.
If it's Wednesday afternoon, I'd love it, frankly.
I'm just saying, let's fucking
fight. Oh, I got to put that on my calendar. Good to know.
Let's fight. I've heard Leave On at the grocery store. My favorite Elton John song. And that was like, damn, this is... There's just a zillion songs here that get played everywhere. I wonder how many times "Candle in the Wind" has been played in grocery stores. You know what I mean? Ooh. Like,
do you think? Do you think it was? Well, especially like post Diana death, like that updated version. I bet that had some like heavy rotation.
Yeah. Sacrifice.
Yeah.
Someone saved my life. That's why they call it the blues. That's man. I gotta say, despite Whitney, I said she has like one of the absolute best songs to hear anywhere, and she contributes heavily to the Christmas rotation. I would have to vote for Elton and make Doug choose the winner.
Yeah, Doug, choose the winner.
God.
Doug, here before the internet, decide who is better, Elton John or Whitney Houston.
Tell the internet which of these artists you can't stand listening to. No, that's not what Doug's doing. Leave Doug alone.
What's painful is that I used to work at a grocery store, too, and would do that thing where I worked at a Whole Foods for, like, 2 months years ago.
Count it.
I feel like I've heard from both when we were stocking shit at 2 a.m. Fuck.
What's your gut say? What does your gut say this is a grocery store artist? I'll abide by whatever decision that is, but I just want to know, what is, like, your knee-jerk first answer on the SAT gonna be?
I think I might have to go Elton on this one.
That's great. We got chalk. Tough region.
I think that what does it for me is that the stuff he did with Disney gets a lot of play.
We didn't even get into the Lion King soundtrack.
That's
God
a really
damn.
Good point.
That's the kind of stuff like Hakuna Matata, all that shit.
Yeah.
All
Can
of that gets
Can You Feel
play.
The Love Tonight? Yeah.
Can You Feel the Love comes on. That's going to shit. Nobody's talking for
that's
4
true.
Minutes. Shut down the whole building. And if it's an overnight shift, someone might go and feel the love. A couple stalkers might pair up. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Right.
It's a long
Jason,
shift.
Jason, this is your region. Who are you advancing between Mariah Carey and Elton John?
Mariah versus Elton, two of my all-time favorite artists. I mean, I seeded Mariah 1. That was mostly based on what I perceived to be total spins. I think I have to trust the public there and go with Mariah.
Okay.
So
I think
Mariah
that's a good choice.
First final
I think
four
that's a good choice.
And she will certainly win whatever voting
method. Yeah. Congrats to Mariah Carey on winning this bracket. All right, let's go to the mats. First matchup. We have the upset winners in the first round, the Matt Browns, going up against Matt Ryan.
Well, I'm biased in every direction.
Right? I know, and this is why I kind of need you to chip weigh in here.
Yeah. So, like, Matt Ryan's college career was pretty interesting. Boston College was good. What the fuck, right? He was very much part of the 2007 season, the most interesting season in college football history. And both Matt Browns could tell you a lot of things about that season in Boston College and football history. So I'll hold my thought there while you take a turn.
I think, again, thinking of like what is quintessentially Matt, it is obviously it's very Matt to write online about college football. Like it's a super Matt thing to do. But I think what tips the scale for me is if you gave Matt Ryan a different name, if you said like, oh, he's JJ Ryan, or he's I was going to say Paul Ryan, but that's a different person entirely.
Yeah, let's note here, there are a whole lot of shitty Matts that you didn't include on this
list.
And
yes,
so thank you
for
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Several of the worst people are named Matt.
There are a lot of Matts that it was easy to not seed here. But I think, like, of the quintessence, like, part of why Matt Ryan is perceived the way you previously described that he is I think because he is a Matt. Like, I think that's a really cute foundational element. Like, Matt Stafford, like, he's a daywalker. Sometimes he's Matt Stafford, sometimes he's Matthew Stafford.
You can't trust him.
He's never been Matthew Ryan. Like, nobody has ever called him Matthew Ryan. The closest you get is people who call him Matty Ice.
Yeah.
And that is, like, in some ways such a stupid nickname that
it's
reinforces
an incredibly Matt nickname as
his
well.
His Mattness? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, when I was in college, I'd drink a whole lot of beer.
Right.
That's an interesting fact about me.
Right. Was it cool beer? Not really. It was just cheap.
I drank a lot of whatever beer was closest to me.
It is fucking ridiculous that Matt Stafford is not the one who got the beer nickname, frankly.
So brutal.
But I think if we're just saying, like, who is most Matt, even though there are two Matts teaming up in the blogger portion of this, I think Matt Ryan is, like, one of our nation's most Matt people.
Yeah, I mean, like, dudes named Matt love to be from Pennsylvania and Catholic and move to Georgia and play golf
and, like,
on the side.
And have the same haircut for, like, 25 years.
And then think, you know what? It's time to mix it up. I'm going to do something exciting. I'm going to move to Indiana. This is Matt overload, dude.
Matt, you need to slow down. So, yeah, I would favor Matt Ryan in this matchup.
Yeah, all right, so no shame to the bros for losing to, again, as noted, a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
All right, Matt Murdock, Daredevil versus Matt Levine.
All right, so obviously I would prefer if they could collaborate on, like, economic law or whatever.
The economics of Kingpin's Empire.
Oh, shit, yeah, I would love to read that
the
post.
The financial crimes of the Kingpin.
How exactly does he stay in business? How exactly does he keep his city afloat? Like, no one knows. He's just very large.
Yeah. God, his metabolism has to be fucking crazy.
The economics of feeding Kingpin. How is one man so square? Economists are baffled.
How much do his suits cost? It's crazy.
Yeah, I gotta go with Daredevil here.
Okay.
It's crazy because, like, I mean, like, obviously he's a cool comics character, but, like, without the show, this would be more of a close call because, like, I mean, it's at least the best Marvel show, I would say. Like, the Loki show is good, but it's only had, you know, it hasn't had very many episodes and whatever. I don't remember loving any of the others.
I like the first season of Jessica Jones, but I don't remember it.
Yeah. So. You're right. Yeah, the first season of that show was fucking awesome, and then what if this was just the Ben Affleck movie?
I don't think it would go very well.
So, like, including comics Daredevil and current
TV
Daredevil. I got advanced Daredevil here.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Doug, do you have any objections here?
No, ma'am. I agree.
Okay. All right. That leaves us with Matt Ryan versus Matt Murdock for the Matt to the King of Matts.
Yeah, it's Daredevil.
You think it is?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Daredevil is the best at, like, the thing he does.
Yeah.
The very not fighting, but, like, his very 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 specific style of fighting.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, while almost always very good and at times excellent, has never been the best.
Matt is a real lawyer-ass name, too. And not like a Supreme Court justice name, not like a, you know, leading the Justice Department name. Real, like, I'm Matt and I'll fight for you. Like,
yeah.
Real, like, Hell's Kitchen local attorney name.
Also, according to a meme from the She-Hulk show, Matt Murdock is a tremendous lover, and I'm certain Matt Ryan is highly competent as well, but I have not seen any memes emerge on that side of the field.
That's the next season of the She-Hulk show, where they emphasize that. Also, Matt Ryan is a tremendous lover.
Matt Ryan as She-Hulk's boyfriend.
Okay, I'm fine. I'm fine advancing Matt Murdock. I think that is a reflection, honestly, of if Mariah Carey advanced out of her bracket with just like nothing but competition the whole way, Matt Murdock more or less walking through that bracket is really a reflection of like the Matt region is not super deep. Like the fact that I accidentally put Rick Ankiel in under a wrong name really shows you that Matt's have a way to, or it's this. Matt's need to do better work convincing their Matthew brethren to come back to the fold. Like there are just too many. I specifically didn't do Matthews, and that took a lot of people out of contention here.
Yeah, the whole ass gospel and everything. That I like that you said come back as if Matt is the authentic natural word, and some idiot came along and added Hugh.
That's right. That's right. That is correct.
You are also hamstrung here by like there are tons of shitty Matts that you didn't include, like the grocery region. Imagine if like, I don't know, Elton John said something racist yesterday. And you know?
Yeah.
So like, yeah.
There are a lot of people when you're like, oh, who's this who's getting dunked on Twitter that I wish people would just ignore?
Right.
Like there's a 3 in 10 chance it's a Matt.
If you go through your mutes list, just control F Matt and like, oh damn.
Yeah.
All right, so the fruits of the spirit, love versus peace.
I think it's going to be love versus joy. Like, I don't mean to
we'll
jump the line
to
here,
that.
But I feel like it's just going to be love versus joy, right?
Love trounces peace, and joy was the higher seed, takes out generosity.
Yeah.
All right, so in the final, love versus joy, this was seeded by the former Saul of Tarsus, who had love as the number one overall seed. But in his original ranking, he did have joy number two. So we are, in a sense, chalk.
So I hear what you're saying, that love always wins, right?
Yes.
But the like, at the same time, as you said at the beginning, this is March. It's when teams that don't always win, don't necessarily win. So I think we shouldn't just assume that love, because if love is, I don't know, the Duke of this bracket.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't feel good saying that either.
Oh, God.
Pretend I said something else.
Okay.
Like, I think Joy has a very good chance here. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm thinking.
Does Joy have, like, a higher upside?
I think Joy, love can be a bad thing. Love can be a misapplied thing. Love can be an emotion that leads to bad decisions, harmful decisions sometimes. I don't think joy can do that. I don't think joy has as many unintended consequences. I understand that there are, like, if you're talking about, like, what gives Hannibal Lecter joy? That's different. But if we're just talking about, like, the sociopath version of joy, I think joy is probably a better place of being and a healthier place on the whole. Love is a wonderful thing and an important thing, and you probably can't have joy without love in your life, but I think it is a better state of being.
So I think you raise a good point. I think with joy, there are more words that describe things that feel like the bad version of joy, like vindictiveness or schadenfreude or spitefulness or, you know, like, I'm happy that you are feeling bad. I feel so great about the bad thing that's happened to you. Like, there are already words for, like, the bad versions of joy, and it's hard to hold
the perversion of joy.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I mean, the worst possible version of love is, like, I mean, you could call it, like, fixation or, you know,
obsession.
Unhealthy obsession or whatever, but it's still love. It's still love.
Okay.
The thing is, though, I liked the criteria of the first round here, which is, like, the most emotional emotion.
Sure, yeah.
And joy does have, like, incredibly high highs. But, like, feeling joy for, like, days, weeks, months at a time I don't know if I've ever experienced that. Like, to
not
me, joy is like, it's a fucking rocket boost, right? Mm-hmm. It's the highest high you can feel. But like, after that, what are you chasing? Peace. Right? Let's bring it down and let's hopefully have a happy, happy landing. Whereas like, love can be everything from like a first love that is feels like joy and lasts a lot longer. And like, in terms of like what makes you the most emotional, it makes you a fucking idiot, right?
Well, what the Greeks had, what, four types of love, if I'm remembering correctly?
Yeah, we should have broke it down that way. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess by that standard, love is a more multifaceted emotion than joy is.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and in, you know, enfolding the harmful toxic versions, if you're talking about like, what do you feel more? Yep. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
So I think that there are times when I say this and there are times when I definitely don't say this, but I think Paul had it right.
Okay. So if I'm picking joy and you're picking love, Doug, which emotion are you putting into the final four? Love or joy?
Shit.
No wrong answers. No wrong answers. Both deserving participants. Everybody will be happy.
I think I'm more swayed by the way love was defined.
Okay. Just, ouch, but that's fine.
It kind of just made sense to me.
Okay. That is a great answer.
Daredevil versus the concept of love.
Yep. Yeah. That is in many instances, that is Daredevil's own battle.
He has been challenged by it. He has been inspired by it.
Yeah.
Essentially, Elektra is standing in here, right?
Yes, correct. Correct.
All right. On to our final region.
Okay. Red zone turnover versus kneeling with 30 seconds left in the second quarter. I mean, this is easy, right? Like, kneeling with 30 seconds left is frustrating. But, like, if both of these are about, I thought something better could have happened and it didn't, the risk reward, the trade, like the likelihood of reward is so much higher with the red zone turnover.
Yeah.
It has to be that. That has to
be. I think the kneel, the frustration is kind of fleeting. And then your mind takes over and like, yeah, fine. It was mathematically.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
It's basically like the same feeling as when your mom and dad are like, no, we're not getting dessert at dinner tonight. And you're like, oh, fine. Like, I get that we can't have dessert every night.
Versus the dessert is on your plate and then it's taken away.
Right. Yes, it's the difference between we're not having ice cream and here's the ice cream, you immediately dropped it on the floor.
Here's the ice cream, you got to watch somebody else eat.
Yeah. red zone turnover advances, and I think we'll win this whole one, but we'll see. Delay of game after turnover, change of possession, etc., or fumbled snap. These are both very stupid things. That at their foundation are, you could not do football. You were asked to do football and you could not do football because you couldn't start successfully.
I think you seeded this region correctly because I think it's fumbled snap because, like, the delay of game is like, okay, just do the same down with, you know, whatever. There's a little more space. And we did just get a turnover, so, you know, things are ultimately looking pretty good for us. Whereas fumbled snap is like, we wasted a down on that, on not even playing football.
Right.
And they might delay have picked
game,
up the fumble.
Delay of game, delay of game never leads to a turn. The only argument I'll give you, I'll offer in defense of fumble snap is this. A delay of game is only bad. There's no version of a delay of game where things go well. You can see a fumbled snap where, with the right circumstances, it throws the defense off unintentionally in such a way where if you recover the snap, and if you, like, make something happen with it, you can turn it into a positive that actually is much more frustrating for the defense because it's like, this should have gone really well for us, but somehow we like threw away this really good opportunity.
Yeah, they have sustained psychological damage because they thought you were dumb and then you revealed that you are lucky.
Right. So, I don't know. Doug, do you have feelings on this one?
I feel like with fumbled snaps, once in a while you can make that into something positive. Yeah. That's kind
this
of
still doesn't feel good necessarily.
The delay of game, I'm just like, always nothing comes good out of that.
Okay.
I think, all
right, I'm going to advance delay of game then.
Damn. Wow. Huge.
All right. And then I don't think it mattered. I think, you know, a delay of game is loss of 5 yards. A red zone turnover. It's the dumbest fucking thing in the world. You're right there. End zone was right there. Or you could have just taken a knee and kicked it. You could have just kicked it on first down. Nobody says you have to kick a field goal on fourth down. If you're nervous because you're inside the 20 and you just want to get points on the board, just get points on the board. Don't turn the ball over. Don't do that. I hate it when you do that. So red zone turnover is going to walk. So we have, if I'm looking at it here, we've got 2 1 seeds, red zone turnover and Mariah Carey. We have a third one seed in Love, and then a 2 seed in Matt Murdock. So pretty chalky, but I think that I think that's because we seeded these really fucking well.
Yeah, yeah. I think ultimately the real winner is the selection committees.
So now I think we have a choice to make, and we should just do it production meeting style. Should we put this out as a meaningless Twitter poll now, before the episode goes up, and people can later realize, oh, no, this is what I voted for? Or should we force Spencer and Holly to make this decision without any context whatsoever?
Okay. The latter is pretty funny, and it's like starter content for next week. Plus, we would have to tell them right now, like, you do not listen to this episode, and Spencer right. will be like, well, duh. You
what, know. What episode?
Yeah.
Episode we have a podcast?
I think that's good. The edit note there would be, Doug, I think I mentioned Twitter voting a couple times, so like mm-hmm. we could just cut those if you can.
You mm-hmm. know what? Wait. There's no reason we can't do both. What I think we should just do both and just okay. see oh, what oh. yeah.
Just, like, let the public vote, but tell them not to listen and they'll get the final
yes.
answer.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's the way to go.
Okay, we'll do
I think
that.
That's the way to go. So I'm gonna
Do you wanna announce that now for the show?
I gotta or remember if I still have the login, which is pretty fun.
No, I can tweet it. I just meant like okay. for the episode currently ongoing.
Yeah. So that's what we're gonna do. If you are okay. listening to this, I wanna say this. If you are listening to this, voting is closed already. We're only gonna leave this open for I don't know, let's say 5 hours from now until mostly the end of the day.
All right, so it'll be it'll close at 9 p.m. Eastern, March 14th, 2023. Vote
there
if
you
can.
So and we're not, again, no context is being provided here, and you'll get it when you listen to this after you already voted. That's democracy. That's what that is.
That's good.